Call me old man Waves.
Damn you, old man!
Wait.
Old ass man.
Shut up, old man. You smell like fart.
No. Man.
Old man.
Wait. He's so old, he got a podcast on cassette.
Fuck, you're old.
Damn it, Wade.
And welcome to the Old Man Wade Show. I am your host, Old Man Wade, and I'm sitting here with my lovely wife. Who I happened just to get her right in the middle of her, like, drinking a, seltzer?
Yeah.
A seltzer water, so it wasn't there. You may have noticed that there wasn't a lot of, happiness and goofiness in my voice when I started this, because, this won't be a goofy episode. This will be definitely a more serious episode, because, I felt it would be irresponsible for me to not use my platform to talk about everything that's going on in the country. For those of you who don't know, cops are killing innocent black men. Then for some of you who won't be, shocked, and some of you who will be, if you're shocked, you may have been living under a rock, or you may have been in disbelief, because, you know, social media will have a tendency to over-sensationalize things. But the fact of the matter is, it's happening. We had another black man who had who died via, was it asphyxiation?
Now I can't say it.
Asphyxiation. Police officer had his knee in the back, in the back of his neck. He was saying that he couldn't breathe, crying out for his mother. And there were three other police officers who literally did nothing. Joe Budden said it best. He goes, as someone who's played lookout, he goes, there was one person there who was literally just kind of like looking around. Like he was just like, you know, trying to make sure no one else saw what was going on. Thankfully, it was recorded, because otherwise this would have been just another black man slain. Because you have four bullies, I think it would be the nice way to put it. But four assholes who were just okay with killing an innocent man. And I read an article that said, like, it's like saying unarmed black man. It kind of paints a wrong picture when realistically it's just an innocent black man. But unarmed black man is the
staple, because if you don't say unarmed, then people don't get it. So when you say things like an innocent man, that's why the topic now switches over to, well, he wasn't innocent. He had a lengthy criminal record. But in that moment, he wasn't doing anything to incite anything violent, hurtful, yeah, hateful. He was not brandishing a weapon. He was not...
We can take it a step further and talk about the fact that he was restrained.
Yes.
Like, you know what I mean?
I did want to say one thing when you said about the three other officers, like, and the fact that they were, like, all bullies, right?
So yeah.
We don't know what happened in the situation, and this is my thing, and this is how I feel about things. I am not anti-cop. I do not believe that all cops are bad. Just like I do not inherently believe that all people are bad.
Yes.
There's good and bad in every group, including in like black groups that are rallying for a cause, right?
Yes.
There are some people that decide that what their thoughts, feelings, and platform is more important than the picture as a whole, and will do things that they really shouldn't be, because it kind of pulls away from what's happening.
Yes.
But my thing is we also have to realize, should those three officers be charged? Other three officers to be charged, yes.
Absolutely. And thankfully they are now.
But to say they might have all been bullies, we don't know. It is unlawful and cowardly and whatever to not stand up when you see injustice, right? And as a police officer, it is your job to do that. Police. You're supposed to...
Mm-hmm.
You know, right the wrongs. You're supposed to rally for everyone.
You're supposed to have more morals and integrity than the average citizen. Like, you're put in this
yeah.
position to like maintain a certain thing. And so you're right, I should say that
they were all bullies, not necessarily. You have to remember these police too are also in a system of a system that was created on like power and what they believe was right, and it has been ingrained just like racism has been ingrained, right? Like that whatever the police say, the police are right.
Yeah.
Or that every crime is committed by a black man. Like, look at him. Like, yeah. Look at how many crimes there are. Look at this crazy animal. They are savages. Like,
yeah.
And when you work within a system and you don't feel that way, but it is a strong hold within the system, how hard is it to try to speak out?
Well,
I know people will jump on the, well, you shouldn't. It was wrong that none of them jumped in. It was wrong that none of them stopped it.
If it's not bullying, then they're cowards.
Exactly. Would I say all of them were bullies? No. Would I say that some of them were cowards and afraid of what would happen if they said something? Yes, but it happens everywhere, right? A lot of people are even just afraid to admit that they support Black Lives Matter, because as soon as they do, 10,000 people jump on top of them.
I don't think you can compare the two, only because, like I said, you're supposed to be held up to a higher standard. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're supposed to do that. So, in my job, my bosses will, if they see me do something, they will immediately stop in case if it looks like it may even perceive that I'm hurting someone.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? And I hold my fellow co-workers to that same standard. When I bounced at a bar for a while, I got really mad at this dude, like, for like the way he was like treating a woman.
Yeah.
And I almost went too far. And thankfully, my homeboy, shout out to Blackie, he grabbed me like, Mark, relax. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so you had someone who like didn't know how I was gonna react, but rather than have me make a decision that I may have regretted, he immediately grabbed me and was like, yo, stop.
Because he's a good person and he's a good friend.
And like, so, and like, even like with, I've been have like with Lavelle and Greg, like I've been in situations, or Jeff, like I've been in situations where it's like, they don't know how I'm going to react to them stopping me from making a mistake. I've been in situations where I've had to physically push my friends out of the way because someone was grabbing hell. I've talked on the show how you literally had to slap the sense into me before I may have gotten shot by the cops because of where we were at and the perception of me fighting three other white men in a predominantly white area.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? So,
you would have definitely been envisioned as the aggressor, yeah. No matter what.
So, and therein lies my problem. Like, they're trained for these things. Like, you know what I mean? That man who had his knee in the back of his neck, he has a prior record of things like that happen. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's had... there's things like that. And then it's like, to have those other three men standing there, like, they should be...
Oh, no, they should definitely all that.
And it's like, you know better than that. Like, you know what I mean?
I was just saying, I wouldn't say it was all a bullying situation. Some of it is just cowardice. Some of it is just straight up fear. And some of it is blind ignorance because it's what has been taught forever. It's kind of like, when I try to compare it to other things, I'm not trying to say that they're not supposed to figure out a way to step aside, because they are, right? So that's one of the things that we're rallying for. We're rallying for the police department to be systematically torn down and rebuilt at a higher, more moral standard for equality for everyone, right? So we want officers to be trained that you don't just automatically look at somebody that's black and assume that they're the ones that did it. You don't automatically jump on the defensive and start aggressively attacking. You don't decide that you perceived it that way, so that's what it is, so now you have the right to do whatever you want.
Yeah.
When you talk about your job, it's something that I've talked to you about before. I worked in a psych hospital. We worked with very mentally ill patients who would lose their shit at the drop of a dime. right? So if you are an aggressive type person on a power trip, because the position that we were in, we could restrain people. We could medicate them, and we could put them in 4-point restraints. We could put them in locked rooms. We could hold them. We could do whatever. And there, I worked on an adolescent unit. I worked with kids. Were there some kids that were so aggressive that they could physically break my nose, like break my arm and really hurt me? Yes, but I still would not allow. There were type of people who used to show up to my codes sometimes that I would tell them to get off my floor as soon as I got there. Just by comments they would make. They would come in and be like, all right, how are we doing this? How are we restraining them? I'll hold, blah, blah, blah. You guys just stand back. I got this. And I'm like, you can leave. And they're like, what do you mean? Well, that's not helping me. We need to de-escalate the situation. My goal was always talking and de-escalating first. If that doesn't work, trying to do a therapeutic hold, one that is less abrasive, one that is less harmful, one is that comes from a more, I guess, like, caring, loving stance.
Yeah.
Than a, you're pissing me off, you're not listening to me, so I get to do whatever the hell I want. Yeah. When that didn't work, then we would restrain. We would never, in a million years, put a knee, an arm, our legs, our body over someone's torso. It is something that we're taught. You restrain people at joints. Shoulder joint, elbow joint, wrist joint. That makes you unable to move. You can't move your torso without moving your limbs.
That was one thing they taught us as well. And my course was, we had 3 or 4 training classes. And that's significantly less than what a police officer has to deal with. So, and like, you know what I mean? But it's
retraining the system. It's retraining the entire system. So when things like, so now people are pissed because we're pushing to defund the police. And they're like, well, what are we going to do with the police? That's not what we're saying.
Yeah.
We're saying, we, the taxpayers, okay, so I work. I bust my ass. I pay taxes. My taxes pay for those people to have jobs.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? No, I'm saying me, personally. My taxes pay to have those jobs.
I'm saying everyone works.
Your taxes pay for that job. The taxes that you pay as a black man should equate that you get the same treatment and equal right that a white person does when they call the police.
Yeah.
Like, it's funny because it was a conversation that I've had with other people before about why black people even feel uncomfortable calling the police for help for themselves. Because you can call the police for help for yourself and then be seen as the aggressor, as the violator, and you're like, what? Like, I called you. I needed help. This person is physically attacking me, but the first thing that happens is they grab you because you're the aggressor. Because, again, it's something that's been ingrained throughout people of color's entire life. Since the beginning of time, black equals evil. Black equals untrusted. Black equals aggressive.
Yeah.
Black equals confrontational. It's never a positive.
I mean, like, even down to, like, not even just the skin color. It's like, when something's bad, it's like a bad disease was the Black Death or the Black Plague. Like, you know what I mean? It was a dark and stormy night. So that means that's something that, like, it's supposed to be fear. Like, you know what I mean? Like, even things like in the Bible, like, it's always used as, black is automatically used as the thing to, like, be looked at as intimidating, scary, or threatening.
Yes.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, so it's never, like, but, like, you look at the other side, the fair skin, the white, it's, like, pure. It's
light,
wholesome.
It's bright.
Yeah.
It means happiness. It means joy.
Like, you're supposed to fear the dark.
Yes.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, so it's like, you know what I mean? So it's permanently ingrained in us. And it's, like, and then having a conversation with my therapist, he said, like, you know what I mean, a 400-year problem isn't going to get fixed in 50 years.
Never.
And, like, and people forget that, like, Jim Crow was only, like, 60 years ago. Less than 60. A little less than
not
60 years ago.
That.
But, like, it's, but no, like, I'm just using that as an example of, like, things that, like,
I know.
Like, we still haven't, like, gotten over. And, like, people, like,
It's not a matter of getting over, though, really.
Not getting over. I think getting over is the wrong word.
I think that kind of shifts the narration when you.
I said it really wrong. The idea of like something like this, it's like, well, Jim Crow's over, so everything should be fine. It's like, no, my grandmother was still alive when Jim Crow was around. So you still have those same people who believe in that are still alive, that are teaching their kids the same things, who may not always, but some of them are teaching their kids these same things. So it's still not even so far removed from the gene pool.
Well, not at all. And yes, things are past, but no, things have not completely changed, and I think that's what people don't understand.
Yes.
I also don't think people on both sides understand a lot of things. I've been encouraging people to watch the documentary on Netflix, 13th, right?
Yeah.
Because it talks about how the system generated the fear of black men and black women, but primarily even so more black men. Like how the fear has been so deeply woven into our society that even some black people view other black people as threatening, dangerous, harmful. It is so ingrained into our society as the norm because it's been slowly pushed and woven in.
Yeah.
I've had so many friends that are white come to me and be like, I didn't understand it, and now I get it. Like, I didn't understand why, like, people couldn't get over slavery or why it happened so long ago. And then they were like, I get it. It's literally, I am taught to fear without even knowing that I'm being taught to fear. It's not even like that your parent has to directly say to you, black people are evil. It's so ingrained into society, like you said, that you don't even realize that you've created that fear in your head. That you fear something you don't know so much because how woven into our society and how much it's been made into the normal like everyday life.
So you know what's funny about that is it's like imagine the idea of like a mother having to tell their son that your skin color doesn't make you inferior. Why is that even a conversation? Like, that's, it's disturbing that, like, my grandmother had to tell me, and my grandmother and my mother had to, like, tell me on a regular basis that you're just as good as someone else. Don't let anybody else tell you otherwise because of the color of your skin.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, and even to this day, like, I have friends who have wives and husbands who, like, they couldn't really be themselves until they got with their significant other. Like, you know, and I know you know who I'm speaking of in particular. And like, the idea that, like, I remember him telling me that, like, until they got married, she didn't understand really, like, didn't really get what it was like to be able to be yourself. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Because she, her own family, like, so that's what I mean when I say, like, it's so woven into the society that even amongst people of color.
Yeah, it's like
you are so taught that, like, oh, that's a white thing, or that's a black thing, or that's a this, or that's a that.
Or even the fact that, like, when someone told me that, like, oh, you're not really black, yeah. And someone said it to me because I enjoy rock music, because I enjoy comic books. But then I was black when I got angry and I had to throw somebody else. Oh, I guess you really are black. The fuck does that even mean? Like, you know what I mean?
So why does our blackness or your blackness equate
negative things.
Like, why are negative things our rally cry and our pride? Like, why is that? Yeah, no.
Instead of like, and it's like someone goes, well, what makes you black? I'm like, well, other than my skin, like, I know my history. I'm proud of my history. Like, Thurgood Marshall was like one of the first like black pioneers that I saw. And, like, really, like, understood that, like, you know, like, I think almost everybody who knows their black history, there's always that one person you can look at, and it's like, him. So for me, it was Dirty Marshall. If he could ascend to that point in, like, the justice system, then there's nothing I couldn't do. Like, you have people, like for some people, it was Muhammad Ali. For some people, it was Prince. For some people, it might have been Michael Jackson, James Brown, Michael Jordan, Barack Obama. Like, you know, you have all these figures who you can look at and they're like, hey, like, you know what I mean? Like, I can ascend to something. Like, I can be more than what I am.
Yeah.
And I think that's, I believe that's a crucial part of being and really loving yourself, is realizing that, like, as a people, like, they really, 400 years, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We were literally held down and told, we can't do this, we shouldn't be able to do that, you can't go here, you can't even, yes, you can believe, you can be a police officer, but you can't change with the rest of the white people. You go change over there.
Yeah.
Or you go change outside in the back of the alley. You can't, oh, and my favorite now is, we don't believe in your cause, but we love your music, we love your food, we love your culture. Oh, well, we'll quote Martin Luther King in January. We'll quote Muhammad Ali, even though we hated him. Like, you know what I mean? We'll do all, like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, we love your culture, but, like, do you really love? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't.
Well, they don't even know the culture.
When it's like they don't know it until it's convenient, until they can.
No, but they don't know the culture really, though. Like, they don't know the culture. They don't know the history of rap. They don't know the history of
rock and roll.
Everybody, clothing. Like, they don't know the history of rock and roll. They don't know the history.
Oh, Elvis created rock and roll. I'm like, no, James Brown. like the rock and roll that Elvis is doing, he got from James Brown. Like, you know what I mean? Even before James Brown, it was Little Richard. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what was we watching? The movie with the British rock star. Rocketman.
Oh, okay.
And, like, finding out Elton John. And finding out that he took, like, a lot of it, like, he got from, like, you know, a lot of his style from black musicians. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like, you know, like, you never know these things, because otherwise they're like, oh, it was all Elvis. Like, no, it wasn't Elvis. Elvis got his moves from fucking black people.
Mm-hmm.
Rock and roll is a black thing. And then, like, and then what? 70 years later, for someone to tell me, like, I'm not black enough because I like rock and roll. I'm like, dog, do you even know where your sound comes from? Like, even if we're going to go take a step further, Kool Herc was Jamaican.
Yeah.
Hip hop was created by a Jamaican man in New York.
Yes.
Like, you know what I mean? And when people go, well, like, that certain music, it comes from Jamaica, so it's not hip-hop. I'm like, you don't really know your history then, do you?
Okay, so I think that's, like, the big thing that you just said there, right? Like, everything with this, like, education is key. So my whole focus is just educating people. Listen, you want to understand this? Watch these things. Read these books. Watch this interview. Talk to this professor.
Ask me a question.
Yeah. So, like, when you ask me a question, though, hear what I'm saying to you and understand it. Look it up for yourself. Research it. When we were talking about a post that I saw on Facebook that pertained to a woman who has a biracial child who screams out, I'm not racist all the time, but literally her post was, why aren't white people allowed to celebrate white heritage?
And that got into a conversation with me and you in the car about how stupid they sound.
Yeah, like, because I don't,
like,
this is what white people don't understand. White heritage isn't a thing.
There's Irish
heritage. You have Irish heritage. You have Italian heritage. You have Greek heritage. You have, you know, Scandinavian heritage. You have Russian heritage. You have German heritage. You have French heritage. Those are heritages. White heritages aren't a thing. White heritage can't be a thing, because what would that be? Would it be, I have, like I said to you, I have shepherd's pie on Sunday, Monday I have spaghetti because it's Italian, I'm going to eat gyros on Tuesday, I'm going to have, you know, French bread on Wednesday. Like, that's not...
It was just funny. Was
and she said, well, why then is it black heritage? Because black people don't know where they came from, and that's what people don't understand. They were pulled in off slave ships by the masses and dropped off in a new land and were not allowed to celebrate their heritage. So the only thing that you can call black heritage, call black people, is black, and that is their heritage in America. Is a Nigerian a Nigerian? Yes. Is an African an African? Yes. Is a Jamaican a Jamaican? Yes, they know where they come from. That is their heritage. That is their birthright. You don't have a birthright.
Because Lord knows.
Because you are black.
But Lord knows where, like, you know, and to go back to your point, it's like it started in Africa, and then they picked up people in the Caribbean, and then they picked up people, you know, going all the way from there, and then brought us here, and then basically made us, like, have sex, create more slaves. Like, you know what I mean? To further things going on. So, like, yes, like...
You all have heritage, but you don't know it. You don't know where you came from. You don't know where it started. You don't know who were your people, what was your tribe. Like, unless you were left in that country, like I said, you're Jamaican, you're Haitian, you're African, you're whatever, you were left in that country to continue to have your heritage. And I think that's why, too, a lot of people who are not black American also try to like not try, also sometimes don't understand the Black Life Matters movement either, because they do have heritage.
But I also kind of, I also,
but then
I don't deal with that. I understand it, but
some of them, no, but
not,
I'm saying,
no, I'm not saying that, but my point is just like, you're right, there are some people
who
don't get it.
Well, some people like try to denounce the fact that they're black. I mean, you are seen as a person of color.
That was the point I was going to make. But you also have people like Harvey and Amanda.
Yeah, they encourage it and they bring it in and they
embrace it. That's why I'm calling bullshit on someone where it's just like, and like, we have people who are more than just, like, Amanda will be the first one to tell you, like, she's Honduran, but she rolls with the Black Lives Matter movement because she understands
that she's envisioned as black.
Like, you know what I mean?
But that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's okay that people don't accept or don't understand the fact that it doesn't matter that they're from, you know, Jamaica or Nigeria, because you're still looked up at as that black guy over there.
Yeah, you're always looking. And unfortunately, like, excuse my words, but to a lot of people, and to every race in the world, we're all just niggas.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
So, like, but, I mean, I think the important piece, though, was, so this woman, her friend who she has been with, friends with for years, tried to explain to her the fact that white heritage is a thing and why it's not a thing, because she does know her lineage. She does know her heritage, what has been passed on through her, because that's all heritage is. Heritage is a string of things, like, you know, food, language, tradition, that is passed on from generation to generation in a specific group. So, like, Cape Verdeans and Kachupa and, you know, like, Italians with pasta, like, and Irish with, you know, like Irish with St. Patrick's Day, and that is their heritage. That's part of their life. That's talking about what they experience. You have no heritage to lean back on but the heritage that was created once your ancestors were emancipated and set free. That had to be built, a whole new community of people, a whole new name, a whole new genre had to be created, because your heritage that your family came here with was beaten out of them. They were forced
Or beaten into them. It's one of the things that I find wild. And
But their original heritage was beaten out of them. Like, yeah. You weren't allowed to practice.
And that's what
your
I was
heritage.
Saying. And then it's funny. Then they beat religion into us, and it always cracks me up. And Lavelle brings this point up when he was like, "They beat religion into us. They beat a God into us that we didn't even believe in." And now all of a sudden it's like they got people out here praising a God that, like, we don't even know it's a God that, like, we believe in. Like, you know what I mean? So there's that. And now it's just a whole thing with the way we have been treated for so fucking long, and then the idea that it has not changed. Like, you know what I mean? What did Will Smith say? Racism didn't leave, it's just being recorded now.
Yes.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, and that's really what it is. It's nasty, it's disgusting. And then you have the All Lives Matter movement, which is fucking ridiculous. And the best explanation I heard to give somebody when they ask what the difference is. It's like, if someone is promoting breast cancer awareness in October, and then someone comes up to you and goes, yeah, that's all fine and well, but what about testicular cancer? Like, no one's saying that doesn't matter, but what we're saying right now is this is what's in this right now is what's important. If some on a lighter note, someone said, protect the rainforest, no one's saying fuck them other trees. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's nasty that people don't really understand. It's like, yo, we are dying. And then it's like, well, it's not that serious. It's only a small percentage. It should be zero.
Yes.
The idea of it should be zero. And I also think that people are also getting, I think people now are getting more of a visual when you have, because now you're looking at stuff going on. They're not just attacking black people. They're attacking the white people who are standing up for black people.
And that's why I was saying to my white friends, they asked me what they could do. And I was like, stand up, speak out, change the narrative. See how many of your friends treat you differently. See how many of your friends come out that you're like, holy shit, I didn't know that's how you thought. Because people hide their racist thoughts because nobody wants to say it out loud because they know it's wrong. It's like how people are like, well, I don't understand why you're so offended by the N-word, but you can call me a Karen. Because you can say Karen, but you can't say nigger. You can say Karen, but you have to say N-word because it's that bad of a fucking word.
Yeah.
How do you not separate that? Like, that is such a derogatory, nasty word that you can't even utter it because you know it's so bad. Like, yeah.
Like, the idea of, like, when, so it's like, and then it's the idea of, like, why do you want to say it so bad? If you know it's a word that hurts you, then why do you say it? You know what I mean? Like, I don't use the F word for the homosexual community anymore because I had a conversation with my little brother, and he told me how nasty it was.
Yeah.
And, like, it's like, I don't even use it in public, in private anymore because it's nasty. I wouldn't want a white person running around saying nigga in private, so why should I do this? Why should I do it? Like, you know what I mean? But years of conditioning, and when you're told that it's okay to say it, and then that the homosexual community is bad, like, you don't know any better. But the difference is like, you have to be able to ask the uncomfortable questions. Like, you know what I mean? Like, my homegirl Shannon and my auntie Charmaine. Hi, auntie. Like, I'm lucky enough to have them in my life that I can ask them, hey, is this okay? I need help with my pronouns. You know what I mean? Like, or Vida Ayala, who's a writer, a comic book writer, who was generous enough to really help me with some of the stuff that I was doing. When I wrote an article, I didn't realize how something as simple as saying he or she excludes people who don't,
like, a whole group of people.
Yeah. And then like, my idea is, like, even just now I wanted to say she, but Vida is a they. Vida identifies as they. So they said to me, don't say men or women, say people.
Yes.
This encompasses everybody. Like, you know what I mean? And even it's difficult, and sometimes I forget, but the more I do it, the more I remember. And it's something as simple as giving this effort into it.
Yeah.
It, maybe it'll help somebody else.
Yes.
Hey, why'd you say they instead of her? Well, this person doesn't identify as her or he.
Yes.
That's just how it goes. Well, why is that? I'm like, well, that's a conversation you'd have to have with them because I can't answer that question. But if someone came to me and says, why is it important that you make sure that you're purchasing from a black business? Like, because if this person supports the cause, then yes, they should get my money.
Yes.
Our friend Jay, best barbecue I've had in my life, he'll always get my money.
Yes.
Always. He's a black man who's trying to get his business off the ground. I'll always support Lavelle. I'll always support, because it's like, even if it's something as simple as that, like, and this is, I wanted to write this down, and this is actually going to be the name of the episode. But while I was in therapy, my psychologist said something that made a lot of sense. I'm trying to find my in between.
Okay.
My buddy Jeff Swabia, he protests.
Yeah.
For him, he's got a bigger voice than I do, like stronger voice. He's a bigger presence for me, and I couldn't figure out. So for me, it felt like I wasn't doing enough because I don't go out and protest, but I do this. And I'm talking to my therapist. He was like, "What are you going to do that you feel gets your voice out to more people?"
Yes.
This. I'm going to write. My writing will reach more people than my voice will in the crowd. You know what I mean? For me, maybe. But for some other people, getting out there...
I do agree with that. I 100% agree with that. I do 100% agree with that. I also feel like everybody should go out and see at least once to understand it fully. I mean, hear me out. And also, imagine if every person thought that way.
But this is the thing, though.
There would be nobody out there.
But imagine if everybody thought that way and then everyone was writing something. Like, you know what I mean? Imagine if everybody used their strength to get the word out. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
No, which
and
I so completely
the, so the
agree
people,
with.
So the people who are out there protesting, I shout out to them. My heart goes out to them. And I've been getting real emotional watching this stuff go on because I'm watching, like...
But imagine if you were there.
I can't do that. Like I mean.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, but imagine if you were actually there in that moving, feeling that love, feeling that emotion, feeling that power.
Yeah, and who
feeling
knows?
That you have that power, that you did that, that you were a presence. People saw you, and you got to voice it, and you got to stand with your people with your cause, with what you're so passionate about. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that I would never say that someone that doesn't go out and go to these peaceful protests are not doing their part ever in a million years. I just try to encourage people to come out and just go once. Go for 20 minutes. Just see what it's like. Not because... I want you to force someone to do it because I want you to feel that it's palpable.
Yeah.
The feeling that is there is palpable in your body. Your whole body feels what is happening because you're in it and not just watching it.
So, some people, like Lavelle, he's been mixing it up with people.
Yes.
Like, if he sees someone acting a fool, he goes right into it. That's Lavelle's strength. That's your strength. Like, you know what I mean? You guys have the patience to do that. I get angry.
Yes.
Really quick.
I can have a conversation without getting mad about it. Like,
yeah.
I can still be polite. I can still be strong without name calling or swearing or...
Well, I can do that, but, like, I just know that, like...
Or getting too angry to be able to actually have the conversation.
Exactly. And so, like, but I also know that, like, having a conversation with someone who's willing to have a conversation, I can do that. But if you're just going to be an angry racist who just doesn't get it, then I really cannot have that conversation. However, you or Lavelle, you guys can do that.
Because sometimes sometimes it's not straight, it's not racism. Sometimes it's just ignorance.
Well, I think,
so woven into the culture that even black people look at their community sometimes as trash. I look at people of color as trash. It's so woven into life in general that some people really don't realize that what they're doing, saying... is not okay and is a problem because it is so the norm to do certain things that they don't get why it's not okay or why it's not a thing.
Yeah.
Or they don't get why does your group all of a sudden get to have all these rights? Because you already have them.
Yeah.
Have the ability to do whatever you want. I don't have that ability. Now
you start. Yeah, they start. It's like they started a 100-yard dash at like at the 60 or 80 yard mark.
Yeah, and I'm still back at the beginning.
Yeah.
But then in the same breath, some people get upset because they're like, well, I didn't grow up having anything. I didn't grow up having this. They miss the point, though. There is one thing you will never have to experience as a white person. And this is what's missed. Yes, you grew up poor too. You had fucked up shit happen to you. Yep, you are 100% right. But you can grow out of that. You can grow and change from that. You can change your reality. You can fix things. You don't have to worry about your skin being something that holds you back ever. As a person of color, that is not the case. I can't turn off my skin.
Yeah.
I cannot ignore my skin. I cannot pretend my skin doesn't exist. I cannot grow out of my skin for all these great opportunities.
And fun fact,
I cannot change my skin.
And just for anybody listening, we wouldn't if we could.
No, that's what
I'm saying in general, but like we wouldn't if we could.
But I had this conversation with somebody and they're like, I never thought of it that way. I thought that they were just saying that white people didn't struggle like black people. No, bro, white people are poor. There are white people who get harassed by the cops.
But even
there are white people who get murdered by the cops. You are 100% correct. Are there white people who get wrongfully convicted? Yes. You can't sit and say, no, there isn't across the board.
No, there definitely is.
But there's an increasingly higher amount of cases of injustice.
So if you can Google this. They actually ran a survey and someone was like, would you rather be poor? Would you rather be well off and black or poor and white?
And people chose to be poor and white.
Like, you know what I mean?
Because people don't want to believe that, though. That's the problem, is that if they were given the choice between being a person of color and anything else, they're most likely going to choose that anything else. There's been 50,000 case studies like that. They do it in colleges all the time. And that's the type of narratives that need to happen, though. Like, college professors who come out and, like, call out their whole classroom, I think that's great.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's wonderful. Oh, well, I enjoy black music. I enjoy black culture. Yeah, you get to do that while still being white.
You can roll down the street bumping
baggy jeans, bumping Jay-Z without being looked at twice.
Yeah. I remember me and Superwoke were driving somewhere around here and we were getting dirty looks for bumping the Black Panther soundtrack.
It's the most, like, nicest, peaceful soundtrack ever. There's nothing, like, even directly, negatively, there's no hate in that album. But, like, that's the thing. So, like, me, I went to the protest because I wanted to see something other than the negative shit that's always just presented. I wanted to see and feel for myself. I wanted to see and feel for myself, like, why or how or what was really happening, right? Because there's 10 different sides to every story, and 10 different people are telling me different things. So I had a really interesting conversation last night with my cousin. I'm mixed.
Yeah.
My cousin is white. And half of my family is white, obviously. I went to see my cousin, and so we socially distanced. I wore my N95, whatever, because I needed a fucking break. I just needed to be out of this house. I needed, like, whatever. I've been stuck in the house since March. Either which way. I went to my cousin's house, and her mother is actually my first cousin. She's my second cousin. And as I was driving there, I thought about a couple of different things. So I thought about my cousin's mother and my cousin and how or what they were going to say about this, right? Or if they would even bring it up to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, would they even have these conversations with me? If I initiated it, would they talk about it? And what would they say and how would they react? Yes. Because they don't understand. Like, because they may have not understood something, or maybe they do understand. So we were having some conversations, Because my cousin has, my cousins, like, on my the white people on my mother's side, like, besides, like, my one of my cousins who has biracial children or whatever, they have ignorance. Like, ignorance is bliss. Like, there are things that they don't know about.
Yeah.
That they don't understand, that they don't see. So I was worried about what the reaction would be, right? Because maybe you won't understand my pain, my plight, what, like, why I'm upset. So we had the conversation, and I was surprised, because my cousin's older, too. I was surprised, my cousin's mother is older. So I was surprised that she was actually really supportive, that she understood it, that she was okay with it. But then she also had other conversations with me too that I didn't even know that happened. So the MBTA got shut down because, so my cousin's husband, I should probably start off with that, works for the MBTA. He works overnights for the MBTA. Yeah. He couldn't go in overnights the night that they had the riot. They told him, the MBTA told them to stay out of that. Yeah. Do not come into work. Absolutely not. We're shutting everything down. Because angry rioters were attacking bus drivers, train drivers. There's literally, she was like, Maria, I listened to tapes of train drivers screaming for help over the radio. She was like, so people don't realize that's why the train was shut down. That's why there is a problem.
And you know my issue with that is?
Why it was stopped.
And it's like, they're looping
The peaceful protests and cops being inappropriate into the rioting and the looting. So, like, this was my point. So, like, everybody wants to blame, oh, it's the police, the city shut down, they trapped us, they wouldn't let us leave. There are other stories to that, though, right? I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe that happened. What pieces of shit they done. Then, like I said, then I found out the T was shut down. Because there was rioting in the tunnels. Because there were people running through the fucking tunnels. How are they going to run trains if there's people running through the tunnels? So, like, I was like, holy shit, I didn't even know that. She was like, yeah, no. She was like, I understand why people, like, feel a certain way. But, like, it's funny. She's like, everything that's out is always so negative and it's always so whatever. But nobody's talking about everything that's happening collectively at once that caused other things. So, right, are there still police there that are inciting things in different places, in different areas? Yes.
Absolutely.
But there's also police in different areas, in different places that are kneeling, that are supporting, that are marching with.
I've seen more than a few places.
That are just standing there and watching. I talked to my other friend that was a cop. So I was talking in general because, like, you get put between a rock and a hard place. When you're a cop, I'm sure. You have to be. Whether you're a cop that's white or you're a cop that's black or you're a cop that's whatever. Like, because you have to do your job and you have to keep the peace, right? So if there are people doing negative, aggressive things, you have no choice but to do something. If there's a protest, you have to be there because there's the chance of violence. So like, you're just trying to do your job. Some people are just trying to do their job. Some people are doing really fucked up shit.
Well,
but same thing can be said on the other end.
But let me put it to you like this. But again, the difference is, like, the police are supposed to be set to
above
all that.
Yeah.
So when you see, like, if you're working with someone and they're acting like a racist asshole, you're supposed to be the one to do that. So, and I also hear the, well, it's not all cops. All right. It's also not all Black Lives Matter movement. And some of the people who are doing that stuff, and we've seen this, and it's funny, the algorithm, let me finish this. It's funny the algorithms that we're getting, because you're seeing a lot of negative things. On my timeline, I'm seeing more positive things. So it's funny that we have a lot of the same friends, but just it's like on one end.
Oh, it's what Facebook allows you to see, too.
No, it's not even just allows to see. It's like what's going to get more clicks. For you, it may be the negative stuff. And it's like, I'm not clicking on anything negative. Like, you know what I mean? Like, as like, but for me, like, I see a lot more positive. But, like, you may interact with it more. And then it's like choice words and things like that. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like, so for me, I'm seeing a lot more positive stuff. I'm seeing police officers walking with the Black Lives Matter movement.
Yeah.
With them. I'm seeing a wall of white people protecting the Black Lives Matter people from the cops. It's like, in the situation, if you want to get to them, you got to go through us.
Yes.
Like, you know what I mean? And I'm seeing the, I want to say she's a bishop, but I could be wrong, of that church where Fuckboy 45 pepper spray people. It's a pepper spray?
Yeah.
Tear gas them so we could do a photo op. And, like,
and hold the Bible upside down in front of a church that he stepped into once.
So you'll love this. So, and...
But, like, I wasn't talking about that, though. That's not what I was saying. What I was saying is that there's stuff happening all around that everybody is not privy to. And should be.
So, like,
they should have came out and said, this is what happened the day in Boston with the train shutting down and people not being able to move and not being able to do whatever. Right? That's what should have been said.
The problem with that is, and I agree and disagree with you only because...
Why?
People are... I'm going to explain.
No, well, I'm saying, like...
No, it was like, it's... Because people are sheepish, people are insecure, people are immature, not insecure, immature. So once they go on there and say, well, because we did this because, like, this happened because people were running down the tunnels. People are, like, attacking.
We couldn't move the train.
So, like, someone is going to go, oh, that's all it takes? And then you're going to have more people doing this. So, like, if you have people who are that ignorant, who are...
I mean, people are going to do it anyway if they want to do it.
But more people will do it once they hear that because...
Because,
like, it's like they want to go viral. It's like the knockout game.
Yeah, no, I 100% get that. I'm just saying, like, people then also have to realize you have to listen to all sides. Right?
I agree.
Like, I learned something I didn't know. In my mind, I was angry that the MBTA closed down the trains and didn't allow people out. But then I found out certain train stations were closed because they had no choice.
Yeah.
Because people were being attacked for no fucking reason. Like, what is the absolute fucking purpose of attacking a train conductor? Like, what the fuck is that train conductor doing?
Because they think it's cute.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, so but stuff like that causes so much negativity and animosity. Like, it's sad because it takes away from the whole purpose, stuff like that. Also, the other extremists, too. So, my cousin was also, like... So, and she wasn't saying that to me to negate anything that we were talking about. She was saying it to me because she knew why the train had actually stopped. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't to be like, no, 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 that's not what happened. She was like, oh, no, what people don't realize is this is what happened. A, B, C, Y, X, Z, this is why it was closed. And I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. And then she was talking about one of my, you know, about somebody else who we know, who is this white guy that is super pro, like, Black Lives Matter movement, but he is one of these people that harps on to a, like, rally or whatever. It could be, like, a trans right rally. It could be a Black Lives Matter rally. It could be a pride rally. It could be a Peace for the Muslims rally. It could be whatever rally. And he goes to the 10th time of extremes and then lies to make things fit his narrative. And unfortunately, I believed one of their lies, and my cousin explained it to me, and I was like, holy fucking shit. And I was like, I didn't even realize that. And then when this kid was being called out on his bullshit, he was like, I'm just not going to talk about it. Bro, you lied. You straight up lied. Why would you? So on top of that, lying to make the cause seem more relevant or more scary and, like, this is why you have to fear the police is just as inappropriate at white people spewing this is why you have to fear black people. That's my only thing. Like, that's what I mean by that. I'm not saying anything is okay. I'm not saying that being violent towards cops is okay. I'm not saying cops being violent toward people is okay. I'm not saying that cops shouldn't be held to a higher standard, because they should, because that's your job. But I'm saying in the same sense too, if you are going to protest something, if you are going to rally something, be truthful about it, be honest about it, talk about what you saw in reality, not what you want to push because it sounds sexier and because it will, you feel like it's going to get people's attention. And you're going to, really what it was for that person was for him. He likes the attention. He likes to be called a hero. He likes to be seen as like the justice warrior. But in our reality, he made a whole situation worse because he lied, because of misinformation. And to me, I'm more pissed off about that than anything. Like, the fact that I got duped and roped in by people to believe something that was not true, and then use that as part of my stance, because how am I to know that someone that I know is lying to me like that? That's bothersome for me. I would never go to something and pretend something happened that didn't.
So this is one of the reasons why, like, you know, it annoys the hell out of people when I say this, and I go, well, what else happened? And when I see, there's a difference when you see someone's knee in the back of their neck and they're like, I can't breathe. It's like, nah,
I see what's going
on.
Yeah.
I see what's going on right now. With the MBTA, I was like, there could have been some dangerous things going on, because you have a lot of assholes who are acting like Black Lives Matter protesters, and they're really just there
to cause chaos.
Some of them are paid to do it.
Yes,
we've seen it over and over again. And so I wanted to leave off with this. It's funny, we're only going to do a half hour episode, which I knew better than that. There was this dude who, I won't say his name. He goes, if you mock the president of the United States for holding up the Bible, prop or not, at a time like this, you need to check yourself.
What? Somebody actually wrote that?
Yeah. So I responded. If you're okay with people getting tear gas for a photo op, you should check yourself. I'm pretty sure hurting people for a photo isn't something Christians should stand for. And that's the part that really gets me. Is you have a lot of these quote-unquote Christians, and I'll say that, because they're not really Christians if they really believe the stuff that Fuckboy 45 is doing is for Christian values. No, he's not. Like you said it on the way home, like, a lot of the stuff is instigating a race war. Like, you know what I mean? And it's nasty. It's deplorable.
I mean, what is happening right now needs to happen. There's no fucking doubt in my mind.
Yeah,
I want it to happen. I think it needs to happen. I think that this shit needs to be in your face. Slammed down your throat. You are... The most biggest thing I keep on hearing is, this is just making me so uncomfortable. This is just making me so anxious. You should be uncomfortable. You should be anxious. You should be disgusted. You should be hurt. You should be enraged.
Mm-hmm.
You should be fearful. You should be all those fucking things. You should. This is not meant to make you feel fucking comfortable. This is meant to make people look and see and have conversations and discuss things and talk about how to make appropriate changes for the future so that everyone can live peacefully. Black, white, orange, purple, Mexican, cops, teachers, nurses, doctors, general public, everybody.
Then there's this, I'm not going to say her name, but she was saying LeBron years ago should shut up and dribble. But when a white quarterback started voicing his opinion on protests and things of news like that, she was like, oh, he needs to speak up and things like that. It's like, oh, okay.
Needs to speak up about what?
So LeBron James was speaking
up. Why can't you say her name? Because
fuck her. I don't like saying certain people's names because I don't even want their names on my airwaves. Fuck her.
I mean,
that's the reason I don't say Fuckboy 45.
No, I get that, but like, fuck, I mean, her. You can't look and research something.
All right, her name is Laura Ingraham.
Thank you. I need to know who it is
You can Google shut up and dribble and it would come up. You know what I mean? But like, I hate saying people's names on there because it's like, it's almost like giving them power. Like, your name shouldn't even come out of my mouth. But anyway, but it's like, she tells LeBron to shut up and dribble when it comes to like, when he's speaking out about the state of the culture or things like that.
And like injustice, yeah.
But tells him to shut up and dribble. He shouldn't do that. But when a white quarterback named Drew Brees said something, it's praised. And it should be.
What did he say? Like, say he was like, about what?
He was saying that he doesn't agree with people disrespecting the flag with the kneeling and the protest.
Yeah, because she's a one-sided douchebag.
But again, it's one-sided and it's racist. And then be like, well, I'm not. It's like she's the type of person to go, I'm not racist. I have a black co-host. You know what I mean? It's just nasty.
So here's the thing. Again. I wanna reiterate this again. People who say stuff like that don't necessarily realize that it's racist. Again, because it's woven into society that the flag is patriotic, that the flag means America, that the flag should be honored, that the flag is for the veterans, that the flag means like power and the fight and how we fought for our freedoms. But what she doesn't understand is that flag doesn't represent my freedom. It doesn't represent your freedom. It represents her freedom. It represents that for her. The reason why it doesn't represent it for me, because that flag held people down for millennia.
So I think everyone on this, Shannon Sharp is a former NFL athlete, but he does a show on FS Fox Sports 1, and I don't really necessarily like his opinions on sports, but when he starts talking about things going on in the community, black world, it really hits me in the soul. So if you get a chance, Google Shannon Sharp, Google Shannon Sharp. I thought burning the flag, stepping on the flag, desecrating the flag was disrespectful, not kneeling in front of it. And so he goes into this whole thing about, he gets into how even when we were slaves, we fought for our country. Yeah. Because we were building the motherfucker. Well, he didn't say that, because we were building the country. It's like, fuck that. Since we're going to be here, we might as well fight for it. And then they still didn't get the same respect. Like, Washington had to rewrite the fucking the Declaration or the war, whatever the fuck, so that because the British were like, fight for us, and we'll give you citizenship over where we're at. And they had to rewrite it so black people would fight for America.
Yeah.
So Washington had to rewrite that for that reason. He gets into how, after World War II, black men and women, I don't know if they were black women at the time fighting in the war, but black men couldn't fight, couldn't come back in their uniforms without being sometimes beat, spit on, and even murdered. Just for after coming back from World War II, defending you, then it's like, you're spitting on us, you're cursing at us, you're trying to kill us, and we're not even going to get into the Tuskegee Airmen experiments and things like that. All the stuff that's done with them. And then, to this day, we still try our best to do everything peacefully.
Yeah.
But, and to quote Lil Wayne, you can only get fucked so many times until it's fuck you.
No, and exactly. And like I said, it's so inherently ingrained into society. Again, people don't realize their bullshit. I'm not saying it's okay. I'm not saying that it should be allowed. I'm saying people should be educated. People should want to educate themselves. And like I said, I've had several white friends over the last few days come to me and ask me questions. Hey, why is this this? Why do you feel this way about this? And have had really good conversations with me and been like, holy shit, I didn't even know that. Do you know how many white people don't know what Black Wall Street is? Do you know how many black people that don't know what Black Wall Street is?
I thought it was.
It was deleted from our history. It was deleted from history books. There's so much black history that is deleted from history that people do not know.
And that is one
of the reasons why, though, that people don't get it.
And something else I found. I'm just scrolling through stuff and it was just like something else you won't see. A chief police kneels and hugs a protester. It's like while everyone else is like around them and it's like,
yeah, I saw that.
Like, but a lot of people won't see that because.
But that's what I'm saying, because it's not sexy. I say that to you all the time. It's not newsworthy because it's not sexy, because it's not nice. Like it's they don't want to do good stories. They want to focus on the negative. They will make two people rioting look like it's a full riot. Like Brockton the other night, after talking to friends that are officers, two different people from two different backgrounds, both white men, both people that I know personally, both whatever, both said to me, both, not the majority of the protest was beautiful, peaceful, and really great to see. People were nice, people were respectful, people they were chanting, they were doing whatever. It was powerful. Both of them said most. Most of the officers there appreciated it, respected it, and understood what was happening and why people were protesting. He said, were there people who didn't get it? Yes, there were. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. But for the most part, which is important, right? Yeah. For the most part, it was peaceful, it was respectful, and it was a really good day, and it went well. Until 9 o'clock, he was like, all of a sudden, random people that were not there, he was like, the protest ended peacefully. It ended at the police station peacefully. There was speeches made, there were like whatever made, and then it was asked to be dispersed. People dispersed. Some people didn't, and others came in at nightfall. And that's when shit started exploding. He said, though, even what they were showing on the news wasn't real. Like, both of these people told me this. One of the two men told me this. Like, he was like, a window was broken at Dunkin' Donuts and a window at a jewelry shop. Nothing was on fire. Nobody was shooting anybody. Nobody was shooting at anybody. He was like, there were a bunch of dumbass kids shooting off fireworks, trying to incite, trying to provoke officers to do things. And he was like, and it didn't happen. And then it dissipated. Some people got arrested for doing violent things. Some people just left because they couldn't cause chaos. Like, they couldn't cause a reaction. Because there are people out there trying to force a reaction. On either side, on either fucking side, there are people out there trying to force a reaction.
But
that wasn't put in the news, though. The news didn't say Brockton had a beautiful, peaceful protest. Brockton families came together, hundreds of people marched, and it was beautiful. All it focused on, and they made it look like it was this giant fucking revolt, and it wasn't.
Well, the problem with that is, it's like, you also have to remember that, like, there are people who are going to do it, but, like, stop looping. Just like they don't want us to loop every cop in, and stop looping every fucking, like, if you're going to have...
They didn't, though. He said that. He was like, the officers knew it was that separate.
I'm not talking about the officers. Okay. I'm talking about the general...
People in general. The general public. But here's the problem, though, with the general public, Mike. The problem is that they're only seeing one side of it, right? They're not going to the protests, so they're not seeing that they're peaceful, that people are having great conversations, that speakers are talking peace, love, and unity. So, because they're not there. They're not there. They're getting their information from social media, mm-hmm. from news,
uh-huh.
and from other people that aren't there.
And that's a key word here, for people who aren't there. So, and that really annoys me, because it's like, if I want to know about a protest, I'll ask Nora Shear. She'll definitely give me...
an honest, open opinion. She'll tell you whether or not it was peaceful, whether or not it wasn't. I get what you're saying. Like, she would that's what it means. She's trustworthy. She's someone that won't over-exaggerate. She's someone that will not lie about facts. She's someone that will not try to make it seem sexier or harder than it was. But that's another piece that people are missing about the general public and why it is important for people to try to educate. Because I'm seeing a lot of, like, people be like, it's not my job to educate you. Okay, listen. You can't be mad that someone asks you a question because they want to understand and then not be willing to explain it to them. It's like how we had the conversation about people who support, like, transgender or gender neutrality, and if you ask a question, they get mad at you about it.
Yeah.
If I am asking you as a person who has no clue or doesn't understand and get it, and I'm asking you to please explain it to me so I can understand and get it, and your response is, figure it out for your fucking self, what are they going to use to figure it out for themselves? The news, the media, other people spewing misinformation. Why would you not want to educate these people? Why would you not want to? My group of white friends came to me as a whole and said to me, what can we do to help you?
Yeah. But I...
I literally said this was... I don't know if that was in our group friends thread or if it was just the one that was with me and
you actually got it. It was actually with the group thread that actually was with individually too.
So what can I do to help you? And I said, what you can do as a person that is not colored, speak out against negative stereotypes. Speak out against people that you see doing things you know are wrong. Don't just blindly walk past it because it has nothing to do with you. Or don't be like, that's just my Uncle Tommy. He's old school. He can't help it. No. Call that dude out. Call him out. Uncle Tommy, it's 2020. That is not what this is. That is not what's happening. That's not whatever. I said, you need to be able to change the narrative. You have to call out your own kind on the shit that they're doing. So, you know, and I said, and go to these protests. See for yourself. Go see what's happening. Talk to people. And I said, and if somebody suggests something for you to help you understand, look it up. Go do it. A friend, my best friend's wife posted on Facebook. I don't know if you saw it.
Probably not.
Her post.
Probably not. I stay off Facebook as well.
And she posted this really long paragraph. And I read through the whole thing. And she said, I was one of those people. She said, I didn't realize the things that were woven into history and why my train of thinking was wrong. I had no idea about half of the history. I had no idea, you know, that like my thought process was inappropriate because I was just always taught this. And she was like, and it wasn't a blatantly racist teaching. She said, I decided to listen to my friends. I decided to listen to my friends of color and look into some things and educate myself. And when I did, I realized why people were so upset. I realized why saying things like all lives matters was inappropriate. I realized why it wasn't okay for me to say that all cops lives matter. I realized why people were so upset. I realized why people were protesting. I realized why, even why riots were happening. Not that I wanted them to, but why it was actually happening. And it changed my view. And I'm so ashamed and upset with the fact that I thought that way. Like, and so we had a dialogue on this thing that she posted where I said, you know, thank you for being honest right now out here in public in front of everybody that you know. Like, thank you for being honest. Thank you for, you know, having conversations. Thank you for educating yourself type deal. I mean, it wasn't verbatim, but like that was a conversation I had for her. Then in turn, I suggested for her to watch 13th on Netflix, right? Because that's an easy thing. I could say, go read this book, go read that book, go whatever. But I wanted her to do something that she could immediately, tangibly do that would be explained to her. Like, you know, like because it's a documentary, it is explained and it is discussed why certain things are happening. And I also encouraged her to look up Black Wall Street because she didn't know what it was. And she did, and she was like, I was like, look up Black Wall Street, it will crush your soul. And she did, and she was like, my God, I didn't even know that was a thing. Like, and these are the conversations that I'm having with my friends that are white, that at one point were saying things like, why, blah, 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 because I've had these conversations before. Now they're truly understanding the conversations rather than just dismissing it or not really absorbing what was said to them, right? Yeah. Because people don't want to be uncomfortable. They don't like to be uncomfortable. So there are a lot of people that probably wouldn't even ask me these questions before or would let me talk about this stuff but wouldn't really absorb it, wouldn't really be able to whatever, and still would stick to their belief.
Well, I think that's, again, a point we've made multiple times, and we will continue to make, we'll end it here, that I think, do what you can. Do whatever you can to, like, do whatever you can. If you can protest, protest. If you think you can just go to see and then leave and that's all you can do, do that. If you can share something where people can donate, do that. If you can share a link that shows happy things, do that. Don't feel as if you're not doing enough if you are doing all you can. I think that's that's a big part of it here. Is if you, like, and...
But do all you can. But don't be complacent. Don't just sit by idly and watch the shit unfold and not say anything. Yeah, no, but I'm saying like online and stuff. Like don't allow your friends to make fucking comments and not be like, hey, what the fuck? that's what I mean by complacency. No, you don't have to go rally in March. Some people just can't do that. They're uncomfortable in crowds. It makes them anxious. It makes them whatever, or they just can't.
Yeah, and like I think you should, like, just do whatever you can, and like if you feel that like this is something that if this is something you can do it. Before we go, I just want to say this: they didn't steal from Target; they conquered it, they discovered it, they civilized it.
Damn it, Wade.